Game On 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the straight talking savings bank.
Game On 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the straight talking savings bank.
And a very good evening from Damien O'Mara. You're welcome to Thursday's Game On. We have left the normality of the radio centre for the beauty of one of Ireland's real hidden jewels. We are live in Enniscrone in County Sligo this evening in the Diamond Coast Hotel, to be precise. Stage 5 of the 2015 On Pulse Ross has ended just up the road in Ballina. Today we will shortly be getting the latest news and chatting to some of the participants. We have a real West of Ireland feel to proceedings this evening. We're going to chat football ahead of the weekend. We've got rugby on the eve of the Pro 12 playoffs and Connacht's big week. Weekend in the playoff, and much more to come as well. If you want to make contact with us, 51552 is our text number, or you can tweet at GameOn2FM. We have an action-packed programme. Later on, we're going to chat Gaelic Games with Eamon O'Hara and John Mahan. We have rugby with Gavin Duffy and Brett Wilkinson. Gavin Dykes is here to chat soccer and all things relating to Sligo Rovers, and much, much more to come as well. Gary Murphy has made the journey from the East Coast to the West Coast to chat golf, because it is day one of the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. We can get the story of the opening day. Good evening to Greg Allen.
Yes, good evening, and getting late in the day here, but still about an hour and a half's play to go. It's a very, very long time sheet. And Francesco Molinari, don't think anybody will catch him at the top of the leaderboard. The Italian two-time Ryder Cup player, 7 under par, around a 65, and he leads Robert Carlsen, the veteran Swede, by 2 strokes. Carlsen shot around a 67. He's alone in second place. Then comes a big group and 4 under par, which includes Miguel Angel Jimenez, who concedes so many yards to most players on tour, it has to be said, off the tee. But in every other department of this game, he is just so efficient. And after all, it is a numbers game, and nobody plays the numbers game of golf these days, I think, better than the 51-year-old Spaniard. Such a colourful figure, and right in the thick of it here, and a former winner of this title as well. So that's the top of the leaderboard. Then on 3 under par is Peter Lawrie. Now, he's the leading Irish player. He only got a sponsor's invitation on Monday. He absolutely loves this course. He was fourth here 3 years ago, and he badly needed an invitation to play in such a lucrative event, because he's down in 129th place on the Order of Merit. He doesn't have a main tour card, so he was very anxious to make the most of his late call-up to play here.
It looked like on Monday I wasn't going to get in. There was talk of them just going down the list and not inviting myself and Lee Slattery, and then all of a sudden it just changed around, and myself and Lee Slattery got in. But look, it's lovely to be here. You know, I've been 12 years, this is my 13th year in a row here in the PGA. I've been on the Players Committee for 3 years, so I think they looked at that and they saw that I've given something back to the tour, and they're rewarding me now that I really need it.
And Peter Lawrie's great pal Damien McGrain could join him on 3 under par, because McGrain is playing the par 5 18th on 2 under, just birdied the 17th a few minutes ago, so he's the second best of the Irish. Then comes Rory McIlroy, a day which started with a bogey for McIlroy, and he was visibly frustrated at times. It ended up not too badly, a 1 under par 71. I'd say at very best he had his B game today, maybe B minus by his standards. He didn't birdie either of the two famous closing par 5s, but a 71 is 2 shots off the top 10, so a nice birdie run tomorrow, and he's right in the thick of it. He's playing in this fourth event in consecutive weeks here. He's had a heavy enough schedule off the course, but he says he's far from tired physically.
I got back to my room last night in the hotel at 4:30 in the afternoon and didn't leave it until 6:30 this morning. So, I mean, there's 14 hours of sort of rest, so that was good. But mentally, I'm a little, I could feel myself getting a bit down on myself out there, and that's something I haven't been doing over the past 3 weeks. So just need to be aware of that and be conscious that, you know, just need to try and keep everything out, you know, on an even keel out there.
Just remember, he shot 70 in the first round last week in Wells Fargo and won the tournament by 7. So a 71, 6 off the lead here. He's certainly far from out of it. The leader, as I said, Francesco Molinari. And just to go down through the other Irish players, Niall Carney, the Royal Dublin professional, a round of level par 72. That was good round today. Shane Lowry, Graham McDowell and Darren Clark, work to do tomorrow to make the cut. 2 over par 74s for that trio. Michael Hoey is 75. But Padraig Harrington will play no further part in this tournament. He only managed 2 holes after retiring with a shoulder injury, which he picked up in a gym workout on Tuesday. So Harrington pulling out of his first tournament ever as a professional, but he says he's pretty hopeful of making the Irish Open. More than hopeful, he expects to play in the Irish Open next week.
Thanks indeed, Greg. Greg Allen on duty there at Wentworth for us. As mentioned, Gary Murphy joins us here at the Diamond Coast Hotel. Your thoughts on the opening day so far?
It's been very exciting, obviously. You know, the hype around Rory is almost biblical at the moment. I mean, he's in a position where he can, you know, he's the best player on the planet by a long way. and his major count, you would guess, is just going to rack up. And he's a star attraction. I mean, they were covering the Pro-Am yesterday, so that it's almost Tiger-esque at the moment, and it's fantastic, and he's delivering. But it was a great day for Niall Kearney.
I touched about to say Niall Horan, who played the Pro-Am at Rory yesterday.
No, it didn't look that good on TV last night, but no, great day for Niall Kearney. It's a huge tournament for him, and also for Peter Laurie, so hopefully Peter can, it's so bunched. It's tie 36th. Niall is at the moment, and that's the cut mark at the moment, the way things are. And a huge day for Damien McGrain too, because he's really struggling. He's down at 171, the Ord de Murrett, and they're playing for €5 million this week. So you want to be there on payday on Sunday.
Okay, much more to come from Gary over the course of the programme. As mentioned, we are here to bring you a special edition of Game On, built around the On Pulse Ross. This is day 5 of the On Pulse Ross. Earlier, the cyclists covered 142.4 kilometres, to be very precise, as they raced from Newport to Ballina. We are going to chat about the action. We are going to catch up with one of the cyclists involved in just a moment. Delighted to say we're joined by former world track cycling champion Martin Irvine and European and Commonwealth medalist who's... We're keeping you from your dinner, so I promise you we'll have you gone as quick as... I hope I'm going to hold on to some for you.
Yeah, I'll not fall over, yeah. No,
okay,
no,
the key word. Yeah. Shane Stokes is with us as well. Just where are we at in terms... I was going to say runners and riders, but they're purely riders after day 5.
So today was kind of similar to yesterday. It was the 5th stage, and it took the riders to Ballina. And as was the case yesterday, it was a lot of windy, exposed roads. Not massive hills, but again, it was decisive. It broke the race completely apart again and further reduced the list of those in contention. So, yeah, another big day. As the race director, Tony Campbell, said before the race, he figured the flatter route this year would actually lead to more aggression, and that's what's happened.
Okay, and then in terms of the overall standings, we kind of alluded to it last night. Were we on course for a cruise to Skerries for the man in control of the yellow jersey?
Certainly he looks very strong. He's isolating that his team is fading a little, and there are now two on-pulse riders, Josh Edmondson and the Irish Road Race champion Ryan Mullen, second and third. And that gives them the opportunity to try and 1-2 him over the next few days. So he's looking good, but you never know. And it just takes one of those to get clear, and it could change things completely.
But as it stands, the smart money would be on Lucas Potzelberger to get over the line.
Probably, yeah. But if you can get good odds on the others, then go for it, for sure.
As mentioned...
Try and jinx him, please do.
That's no problem. Yeah. Well, we're available to, you know, if the money is right, says he in jest. Martin, from your perspective, people looked at it as a great boost to the race when you were effectively added to the list of riders relatively late in the day. What is it about the Ross that attracted you to come and take to the roads of Ireland for a week?
When I started cycling, that was the legend, you know. It was this crazy race where you got the week off work and you went and hammered yourself around Ireland for their 8 days. So that still is in my head, you know. It hasn't changed. That legend is still there. I've went on and did all sorts of things and come back to it, and it's good to even get, like, you'd never see parts of Ireland that you would in this race, and that's why I love being here. It's cool.
How has the On Pulse Ross been for you so far?
Yeah, it's good. I'm staying on my bike. I have a bad habit of falling off it lately, so that's a bonus. Weather's all right, not too bad, and yeah, it's good aggressive racing. I'm really enjoying the week.
And since we spoke, I think that the last time you and I spoke on the radio was around the time that you'd signed for United Healthcare. So new team, new challenge, and new dynamic for you for 2015.
That's it. Back then, I went off to America and tried I found out I didn't like it out there, so I'm back kind of a bit more sensible, putting things around me that I know works, like the Ross works, good fitness, and then kind of a good solid season with Madison Genesis, and they'll hopefully hit the track season running.
Overall, how is the health? Because what was it, a broken collarbone kind of derailed you?
In December, was it? It kind of threw a spanner in the works, referenced the Olympic qualifications, so I'm at the bottom of that pile. So that's where this whole road season kind of is, wanting to just keep fit and stay upright and stay in one piece, and then hopefully build on that this track season. So there's a lot to do, so fingers crossed.
So is this effectively, is it akin to a pre-season in terms of training and technique and everything else?
Yeah, it's solid. I mean, like 100 miles a day roughly, you know, it's real good. It's laying a good base if you can get around it in one piece and not be sick. So, touch wood.
You're really painting a great picture for the life of a professional
really,
cyclist.
Like, today is crosswinds, and you're just fighting for an inch of road on the left, where there's a whole, like, 2 meters to the right. But it's just the way the wind pushes you, and you're trying to hide from the elements. And
how does it work with the slipstream, like getting in behind guys?
That's where the crosswinds. You can only have so much road. So you know, if the wind's from your left, you'll stagger over the road in that slipstream. But eventually, you run out of road, and that's where you're just in the gutter, and that's when it blows to bits.
There was a section today with cliffs on one side as well.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. It's good racing. Like, it's picturesque countryside.
Not only that, it's a unique situation where you've got guys from clubs and county teams all over Ireland can mix and match it with the best in the professional era. Certainly, you know, the guys who do this for a living. So where else in the world would you get that aside from the Umpuls Ross?
I couldn't tell you another race. I'm sure there's something somewhere in the continent over in America, but it's very rare where it's nearly 50-50 amateur and professional. And it's unique that way, you know. It's even a chance for guys. I used to be one of the amateurs like it, it's just a benchmark, see how bad you are or good you are. It's definitely unique. It's cool.
And where is that gap at? Is it narrowing in terms of the cream of Irish cycling? Because we've seen the explosion in it in recent years.
Sure.
You can't, you know, how many of us go for a nice leisurely Sunday drive and end up stuck behind 50 fellas in Lycra?
Yeah. I know, I hate it. I've been there myself. Apologies. Yeah. But everyone's getting smarter, reference training and nutrition, and you can really see the average cyclist getting stronger, and you know, power meters and heart rates, and everyone knows what to do and how to do it, and you can really see the level rising across the board.
Overall, can you stake a claim on how this is going to end when we get to Skerries on Sunday, or is there still plenty of competition to be there? All it takes is a puncture or a well-paid radio presenter to scupper the leader.
That's it. I mean, it. Yeah, you need an act of God, I suppose. The way it's going, Umpuls have a lot of riders. They have a lot of cards to play. They'll even help the jersey at some point, you know, nearly, because they're interested in keeping their GC position. So I think it's not going to be awesome racing, because we're swinging tailwind and the weather's changing a bit. So, but there's stage wins to be had, and hopefully I can get one of them.
Overall, looking, here we are in the 21st of May, what would success be for you for the rest of 2015? Is it about the team, or is it about qualification for Rio?
Sure. I mean, the team put faith in me, you know, give me a job, and have to, you know, Irish Championships maybe would be a nice return for them if I could do something there. But the main goal, I suppose, and they know it as well, is me qualifying for the Rio. That's the biggest prize for me. So that's where my eyes are on.
Do you reflect upon the Olympics as unfinished business?
Yeah, for sure. I went to London and I went like a big bag of spanners. Like, you know, it's too much enthusiasm leading up, and I kind of went in the worst form that I've ever had. So that's a horrible black mark in my memory. So I would love to turn it around. So you never know.
Okay.
And Martin did already, you know, because he came back the following year and had a fantastic season and won his world title. So he's probably been a little hard on himself, because he's definitely done a lot
since. He was teeing it up for you to, you know,
play compliments, please.
Yeah. Shane, just, you know, we talked there about the calibre of Irish cycling, and it's not stretching it that if you can make it along stage 6 from Ballina to Ballinamore, stage 7 Ballinamore to Drogheda, and then the traditional finish from Drogheda to Skerries for stage 8 on Sunday, you are quite possibly looking at the future stars of, or you are definitely looking at the future stars of Irish cycling, because that is the role that the Umpuls Ross has played.
Yeah, the one thing I'd say about that is that a lot of the county riders in it, there's a certain amount of them would be older. I think somebody said the average age of the county riders left in the race is 34, so it's really...
That's young. That's young, if you're in my seat.
Yeah, just in terms of pro contract, but definitely there are some very good guys coming through. I mean, if you look at Ryan Mullen, he's third overall. He's actually grown up in Wales, I think, but you know, he's only 20 years of age. He was only 0.5 of a second off winning the under-23 World Time Trial Championships last year, and he's going to be huge. You can already see that he's going to make a breakthrough. And there's various others as well. So it's really encouraging. You've got Martin on the track, and there's lots of reasons to be optimistic. And actually, if you look at this year's tour, I'm fairly sure that you could have 5 Irish riders in it, which would be the highest ever. So again, that's another good sign.
Okay, so plenty to look forward to. Shane, you might stay with us. I'll let you go off and get your dinner. Good luck for the rest of 2015, and hopefully we'll be annoying you in Rio next year.
No, I'd love that myself. Yeah, thanks very much for having
me, Martin. Good to talk to you as always. Thank you very much for joining us. Martin Irvine joining us here in the Diamond Coast Hotel. We are going to have more chat about the Umpuls Ross before the end of the programme, but much more to chat about, and I suppose we can talk about Connacht being a bedrock of sport of late. And two men who served the Connacht rugby jersey with distinction join us, Gavin Duffy and Brett Wilkinson. Gentlemen, good evening to you both.
How are you?
Gavin, I'm very good. Thank you very much, Brett. Gavin, I suppose to start, the big news, like rugby is the top story today, Matt O'Connor's departure from Leinster, which, despite the bad season by their own standards, still seems to have caught a lot of people by surprise that they've departed with the coach.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised myself. I thought there were a lot of circumstances that you feel sorry for in terms of player availability throughout the year, injuries, plenty of the older guard, like, you know, Brian O'Driscoll obviously moving on, Gordon Darcy coming to the end of his playing days. So there's a lot of circumstances there that you thought, right, it couldn't be as bad again next year. And obviously with Johnny Sexton coming back, you're kind of thinking he'd have a different card to play. But yeah, I'm surprised by it. I thought he'd get another year at least to kind of show his hand. He's obviously come with a good reputation from Leicester as well and what he's achieved there. So he had success last year, very close to getting to European final this year. So I'm pretty surprised myself that he's been let go.
It's the margins, isn't it? A drop goal away from probably being a hero. Had that against Toulon gone over, and Leinster were now preparing for a European Rugby Cup final.
Yeah, it is. And I suppose, you know, in professional rugby, it's those small margins that matter. And, you know, I'm also surprised. I feel sorry for him. I mean, it shows how cutthroat it is. You know, you look at players, and when they don't perform, they, you know, are out. But it's as cutthroat for coaches. And, you know, it'll be a bit of disruption in the Leinster camp. I mean, obviously, they'll have a new coach coming in. And as you said earlier, I'm sure, you know, Leinster being Leinster, they would have, you know, lined up someone or have someone in mind. But, you know, those players will have to get used to, you know, the new coach coming in, his style. So I'm surprised he wasn't given, you know, another year to kind of settle down, because it always takes players time to settle down and find out, you know, the way the coach likes to coach and, you know, to come accustomed to it. So,
and before we talk about Connacht and what the weekend might hold in store, Brett, that job, it's not exaggerating it to say that particularly post-World Cup, coaches are going to be queuing up to try and get a crack off Leinster, such is the place that they hold in European rugby.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, post-World Cup, you know, it's going to be highly competitive. And, you know, as Gav said earlier, with Johnny Sexton coming back, you know, he'll only lift it. So there will be coaches lining up for it.
Okay, we'll wait and see how that all plays out. In terms of Connacht, Gavin, and obviously you've hung up your jersey, but you're involved on the commercial side of things behind the scenes, so you're eminently qualified to talk about how big this weekend is. And I saw it being suggested earlier on that it's up there with the biggest game in Connacht's history. Would you quite put it in that phrase, that the looming playoffs to get into the European competitions next year?
Yeah, certainly is. Obviously, the stated target all year was top six, and I haven't been top six for almost 20 weeks out of the 22. It was very disappointing to ultimately fall out of that tier. And then on the last day, we're waiting for the results around the grounds from Edinburgh, and Leinster beating Edinburgh on the last day when we lost to Osprey. So to leave it to that last moment was a little bit disappointing that it wasn't in our own hands. But now it's back in our hands again. We've great opportunity in Gloucester. The lads were over there maybe a month or so ago in the quarterfinal of the Challenge Cup. And I know that they're hugely disappointed, especially with the first half display where the kicking was very poor. Some of the defence was poor enough as well, but by the end they got themselves back into the game, which has been a thread throughout the season, and could have pushed on to win it or even get back to a draw. So they'll go over there with a bit of confidence, knowing that they'll have to start well. And then the carrot is that you'd have a French team at home. Now that currently is Johnny Sexton's Racing Metro side, so that'd be a huge day in the sports ground. So that's something that we'd be gearing up towards, hopefully come Monday.
A lot was made when the power struggle took place, Brent, and the, you know, the ERC became the EPRC or whatever it is now. You look at this playoff system, is it stacked in favour of the French clubs?
I don't really know, to be honest. It's just, you know, it's a tough route. I think, personally for myself, I think if Connacht win on the weekend at Gloucester, I think they'll go all the way, because a French side travelling in the past haven't travelled well. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a big test, and I think the biggest test will be this weekend.
But what an explosion for rugby in Connacht in the last couple of years. And, you know, Friday nights now at the sports grounds, it is the place to be in terms of sport in Connacht at the moment.
It is. I mean, from when I started and when Gav was there, I mean, Connacht rugby, you'd get, you know, 300, 500 people to a game in a miserable condition standing outside. And, you know, it's the hard work that the commercial team and Gav's there now, putting in, and you know, you're getting a couple of thousand on a Friday and a Saturday, and it's just grown massively, and it's kind of just gathered momentum and a kind of a snowball effect.
And Gavin, I know like people will look at maybe the demise of the soccer team in terms of League of Ireland. Okay, they're on the way back up, and there's no Galway men in the room that I won't get given out to for suggesting that, you know, Galway football and Gaelic games maybe is slidden below the expectation that people would have. And Connacht have really capitalised on that, but it's all been built on a great resurgence of the latter years of Eric's time in charge and the work that Pat has done since he's come in.
Yeah, it is, and it's also on the back of the success of the Irish provinces and the Irish team as well. Obviously Munster, Leinster blazed away, blazed the path in Europe over the last 10 years or so as well. And you would have had a situation where there was, you know, busloads going from Castlebar down to Limerick, down to Thomond Park in a European game. You know, because there was a kind of a thirst for top quality rugby, and thankfully now Connacht are able to provide that. Now we're getting buses from Erris, from Ballinlough, from Sligo, from Westport, coming to the sports ground on a Friday night, and that's massive. That's a huge change, and the kids are now wearing Connacht jerseys as opposed to Munster jerseys, which again is a big thing for us. The city of Galway itself has been very supportive as well in terms of hanging out flags and bunting and kind of building an event around the game. But thankfully the players have also, and the branch have also recognised, and Pat Lamson's come in along with Eric, have done huge work in getting out to the community as well. So the whole province, the whole provincial side, or the professional side, we'll go to a Craig's or a Scommon or a Monivet throughout the summer as well, and throughout the season, and try and engage with kids in local areas. And the last one we did was in Carrick and Shannon, and there's nearly 500 kids in Carrick and Shannon. A couple of years ago, they didn't even have a pitch, you know. So that's the kind of growth we've seen throughout the province.
We've John Mahan, Eamon O'Hara, and Gavin Dykes with us as well. And John, you talked there about the love of sport, and people will say success breeds success, but like Connacht and what they have done, isn't it about trying to get kids early, form the love of the game with them? And
I was just beginning to listen to Gavin there as a former Mayo footballer. I was beginning to think that rugby was becoming a threat in Connacht, but thankfully it's a, you know, I rejoice in the fact that Connacht rugby is doing very well, but the GAA are doing particularly well as well down in Connacht, as we all know. But no, it's fantastic. I mean, the achievements that Connacht have made, we recognise that, and they are infiltrating into clubs. And I saw that when I lived in Galway 25 years ago. I remember sitting in Ochtacara and looking out my window, and little minibuses coming in, whipping up boys in my local estate, taking them off to rugby training. I just often wondered, why didn't the GAA do that? We're a little bit slow to catch on to that kind of stuff, and but the marketing and the, you know, this doesn't happen by chance. What's happened to Connacht, like, I mean, has been very well orchestrated. They've done huge work behind the scenes, and he's right, as Gavin rightly said, it's becoming very, very attractive. The whole Galway City Council has come in behind and created that a little monster, which is very, very attractive and easy on the eye, you know.
And just in words of, like, in terms of single players, Brett, to talk about the I don't want to single out one guy, but maybe the importance of someone like Mr. Henshaw, that kids can now grow up in Connacht and look at a guy like Robbie Henshaw and say, you know, I can play for my province, I can play for my country, I can win silverware, and you can be damn sure he'll be a name he'll be spoken about for the Lions when the Lions tour rolls around.
Yeah, it's massive, and I suppose, you know, that's what you know, Connacht are trying to build, is getting young kids involved, and, you know, them aspiring to be the next Robbie Henshaw. And, you know, the more of that coming through the province can only be good for Connacht rugby, but then also Irish rugby.
And it's a big part of it, isn't it? That, you know,
it is,
kids want that number 12 or 13, depending on what it is he's wearing.
It is. And then when we go to Craig's and Dennis Buckley's there, the kids want to see Dennis Buckley. They'll walk past Robbie Henshaw to get to Dennis Buckley because they see Dennis Buckley in the Roscommon Hurl or whatever it is, and he's after getting forward of the year. And it's just, it's incredible that when we go, you know, if you go to Ballina, Dave Heffernan's a local lad down the road here, it's always like, you know, and the young lads go up and say, oh, I know your dad, or my dad played with your dad, and they don't really care who Robbie Henshaw is there. So it's brilliant that we have kind of a sprinkling of players from throughout the province, you know.
Yeah, it's what it's all about, isn't it, that pride, Eamon?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think for years we've been looking at the Munsters and Leinsters and the Ulsters, just great for, you know, I've travelled around the world, and now when you talk of, you know, people ask where you're from, and you'd say the west of Ireland, and straight away they'll say Connacht, because that's the association that they have. These people have seen it now, and, you know, for me to be from Sligo, and, you know, I'm living in Strandhill, and rugby is very, very strong in Strandhill as well. They have their own rugby club, but the Connacht team come down on a number of occasions and trained, and, you know, the road is blocked with people going in looking just to see these new sports stars that have come on to come on the scene. And, you know, it's great for rugby, but it is a huge threat for other sports. And me being a GAA man now, it's, you know, some great players that would play Gaelic football are now playing rugby. So, you know, you wish them well. but it is a competition, and that's what they're attracted to, that success and that branding.
But Gavin Dykes, is the most important part of the whole thing just to have kids involved, be it rugby, Gaelic, soccer, that, you know, once they're playing something, the country's probably in a slightly better place?
Yeah, I think so, especially when we look at now the obesity and stuff like that. I think it's very important. But I give great credit to the people who are involved in rugby. I think their model works. I think a lot of sports can look at it, especially in Ireland, and say they've got it right. I know the local Sligo club, there's a huge amount of work goes on there with underage stuff. You know, they have academies and things like that. And I suppose us looking at it from a club like Sligo Rovers, we've got to look and see how we can go and do that.
It's been a big part of what Sligo Rovers, and I have to declare a slightly vested interest that I married into a Sligo family. So after Bohemians, Sligo Rovers is the club that I would keep the closest eye on. That getting into the schools, getting into the communities, getting into people that had forgotten the showgrounds existed has been a massive part of the work under Owen and Ian Barraclough and Paul Cook and other managers in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I think it's great credit to the people who run the club over the last few years. It's a community-based club. We get our sponsorship in the community. We have a big following of local people, you know, and we have people that travel as well, like people in the morning listen to the lads here. We have lads who come from Arras, you know, from Castlebar, you know, and I think that's very important because there's an identity with what Sligo Rovers do. But I think the challenge is always going to be, you know, there is threats from sports, from the GAA, from rugby, but once the kids are out there being involved and doing something, I think that's healthy for everybody. And I think if they're all getting the right message, I think that's very important.
Yeah, and for the Robbie Henshaw, there's a Seamus Coleman, and there's, you know, other players in each sport, so the influence is there.
I think it's very important as well. Like, the worst thing in sport is early specialisation. It's very important for kids to play up to 17, 18, maybe all the sports. And then you have a variety. And if you're particularly good at one sport, I mean, I had a father last winter wanted me to write out a programme for his 12-year-old for golf for the wintertime. So I said the programme was go play soccer and rugby and hurling and whatever you can play. You know, it's very important to have a mix of all the sports and not feel like one threatens the other. You know, learn from the other sports. And it's, you know, because there's a lot of pressure on kids too young now, so it's important to have a mix.
Okay, we are live here in Enniscrone in association, and with thanks to our good friends involved in the On Pulse Ross. We will be chatting much more with regard to the On Pulse Ross later on in the programme. We're going to chat Gaelic games ahead of a busy weekend with Eamon and John in just a moment, and more soccer to come with Gavin in a couple of minutes' time as well. If you want to make contact with us, 51552 is our number via text. We've a request in from Johnny Kenny and John McAteer. As we're in Sligo this evening, will you please give a big shout out to the under-12 Sligo Leitrim boys team. They're playing Mayo in the SFAI Interleague All-Ireland final on Sunday. It's down in Tipperary, so plenty of buses leaving Connacht to go to Munster this weekend. It's Sligo Leitrim's first time to reach the final, so they're all delighted. And good luck to... Johnny Kenny and John McAteer, the managers, along with Brendan Toohey. So they didn't send the text. It's people sending best wishes to them. Glad to do that. 51552 at Game On 2FM. Break to take. Back in a moment.
Game On 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the Straight Talking Savings Bank.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. We are live from the Diamond Coast Hotel in Enniscrone with On Pulse to chat cycling and much more. On Pulse are proud sponsors of Irish cycling at all levels in the country, and the On Pulse Ross is Ireland's number one annual cycling event. It gives the country's amateur, county and club riders the chance to pit themselves against Irish and international professionals. We've been looking back at today's stage. We'll chat more about the challenges that the remaining stages will bring as the Ross leaves Ballina and makes its way to Ballinamore tomorrow, and we'll get insight onto that route and let you know key locations as well for spectators. But John Mohan, casually in the middle of the ad break, you just kind of threw out into conversation that you'd taken part in two stages of the Ross.
I've raced the Ross, yeah. I didn't mention it, by the way. I was out today and yesterday with a bunch of guys, 40 guys from all over the country. About 5 or 6 years ago, a couple of GA guys, Paul Early, Eamon McHertig, and Declan Darcy from Leitrim got involved and started up a charity cycle to race the very same stages of the Ross. And that was about 6 years ago. I've done about four of them, but I just pop in and pop out, do two or three stages, and then the old chassis begins to warp. Not my bike, not the bike now. I'm talking about the body.
There's a chassis here.
I was listening to the boys earlier on talking about the Ross and talking about the windy conditions. It was torture out there today for me. Anyway, it was tough going.
But the difference is, whereas Martin Irvine has left us to go off and eat like a proper professional dietitian's dinner, you're going for pints in the bar up the road. So.
That is the difference. Like, I mean, they put you to shame, so these guys, and I don't have a mistake. masseur with me. I don't bring out my masseur at that. And but some of this, but I marvel at them. Like, I mean, I have great respect for cyclists, because I think it's one of them. They and oarsmen, rowing, two of the toughest sports in the world, as far as I'm concerned. There's no place to hide on your bike, and the speeds those guys down around Donpatrick Head, Glenamoy, Ballycastle, Day, majestic countryside. Mm. We had a girl over from Massachusetts doing this race to Ross for her first time in Ireland. And yesterday she marvelled, because we were blessed with a lovely day yesterday. She marvelled at the sunshine, the scenery. And I said, wait till you see Donpatrick Head and Ballycastle. Unfortunately, she couldn't see it. There was a heavy mist in town today. She said, where's all this beautiful scenery? But it's good fun. And okay. As I say, we do it for fun. We've gone a little bit past the old competitive aspect of it, but we had good fun today. Yeah.
So there you go now, Eamon O'Hara. Mm. There's no excuse. You've 51 weeks to get ready for next year.
Funnily enough, Demo, I was actually meant to do it this year. Eamon had been on to me and I had promised I'd do it, so I'd pulled down the bike off the wall. Now, that bike has been on the wall, has been a long time. Actually, both wheels have been flat.
It's older than the one Stephen Roach won the Tour on.
Something like that, yeah. But I actually was meant to do it. Unfortunately, something else came up and I didn't get around to it.
You've got to put air in the wheels first.
Gavin got injured last year with his neck. I hope you don't mind me saying it, but you spent a lot of time on the watt bike in the gym, because it was the only thing you could do.
Yeah.
And so one day he did 100K.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
And you should have seen the puddle of sweat underneath the watt bike.
It was hell.
But I was just like at that stage, I was like, this fella could do the Ross. He could definitely do the Ross. But I haven't seen Martin now and the shape he's in, perhaps. Yeah. And talking about that inch on the road, I think you would have blown him off the road.
Yeah,
the road,
I think.
He'd have ended up over those cliffs to refer to earlier.
I think he might have the power, but maybe not the physique.
No. Yeah. Well, there we go. There's hope for us all for next year.
He'd be a great wind block, though. He'd be everybody.
Steady on now. See, there you go now. I feel sorry for the props. It's the props who get the most abuse of all rugby players.
It always is.
Undeserved.
Any food jokes or any dietary jokes, it's always the props that get it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Seriously. I'll give you a hug when the program...
Cheers, thanks.
Sorry? What?
I'll mention. We have a moratorium.
Steady on. Right, Eamon O'Hara, to talk about Gaelic Games. How competitive is the landscape in the Connacht Championship this year?
There's three teams in it. Mayo well ahead of the pack. In my view, I thought Mayo are well ahead of the pack. Galway and Roscommon are you know, biting at their heels. I thought Galway would have been a little bit closer this year at the window under Kevin Walsh. And watched them last week against Leitrim. They were just, you know, you'll take nothing out of the game. But what I saw was that I just didn't think they had that physique about them that, you know, when you're up close. I'm involved with the club team in Mayo this year, and I've seen the lads up close and personal, and, you know, the physical size of Mayo right now is very, very, you know, they're big men. Galway just don't seem to have that at this present moment in time. On the flip side of that, Roscommon are coming. They've had a fantastic league campaign for the last 2 years. There's a lot of talk with Roscommon, and those comments made today about Gay Sheeran, one of his selectors, and he said, you know, there's no harm in us talking about winning Connacht titles. It's ambitious. I would agree with that. But at the same time, you know, the hype that comes in behind that, you know, can put a huge lot of pressure on these lads, and these fellas can perform, but I still think they're a year away. So for me, it's going to be Mayo. I'm not be five in a row for Mayo.
And I was. It's like everything. Success is relative to what your ambition is starting out at the beginning of the year. But I'm sure at this point, players, okay, they'd like to have the medal if you're from a Mayo perspective. But what use is another kind of championship to Mayo unless you go on and win the ultimate prize?
Yeah, well, I grew up in the decade of the 70s when we didn't win a single provincial title. And here we are talking about going for five in a row. But, like, I mean, the scene has changed, I suppose, a little bit in the last couple of years in Mayo. And there's a bit of a feeling that we might have lost an opportunity, particularly the last 3 years. Last year was another one in particular. I have my own sad story, this House of Pain that we referred to back in the 90s. We certainly should have won one. But we had a team, I think, in the last 3 years that definitely should have won one. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for us for a combination of reasons. You know, a little bit of bad luck as well, I have to say. And we're not looking for excuses. But I think there's a little bit of a feeling in Mayo that we might have missed the boat a little bit. I do think that we'll probably sneak another kind of title, albeit... With the warning signs going into Pearse Stadium, Mayo will have to be 5 or 6 points, a better team to beat Galway, always has. And despite the fact that we comprehensively beat them last year, I think it'll be an awful lot closer this year. Galway, and as Eamon said, Galway and Roscommon have really, really improved. But I just think they were ahead of the pack. So a big disappointment. I came out of a game when we played Donegal. We just needed a victory to get into a National League semi-final. And that game was at home in Castlebar. Donegal teams that didn't have Neil Gallagher or Michael Murphy. And, like, I mean, you would think that's worth 7 or 8 points to Donegal. We couldn't beat them on that occasion. It felt like a 10-point defeat. That kind of knocked us and jolted Mayo people in particular and supporters a little bit. So we'll be going in not expecting anything huge from our team this year, but I think we'll probably get to maybe an All-Ireland semi-final, because if we're lucky enough to win the Connacht title, we play the runners-up of Leinster. Dublin are way ahead of the pack up there at the moment, so I think we're capable of beating maybe a runners-up of Leinster, get into an All-Ireland semi-final where Connacht champions meet Leinster champions, which more than likely will be Dublin. I think maybe that might be as far as we'll get this year.
Gavin, just to, if I can get your view on it, because anyone who's read the Gaelic Games sections of the papers will know that you were involved as an extended member of the panel, and is it still an ambition for this year, or is it something that can... Which...
No, I've been realistic about it. No, I was let go off the panel just the week before the league started, so thoroughly enjoyed my time. I've gotten a huge appreciation for what conditioning and even just the mental toughness of the Mayo guys in the last 3 or 4 years, like it's phenomenal, the effort that goes into it.
That was the issue I wanted to ask you about, because people talk time and time again about Mayo having to get back on the bike and put the disappointment of 2014 to one side, and here we go again for 2015. Do you see that resoluteness there, that they can overcome the disappointments of the year that have gone by if the ball drops the right way for them this year?
From what I've seen, has been involved in the last 6 months or prior to this, that definitely the group of guys that are there, huge leaders amongst them, Aidan O'Shea, Killian O'Connor. Now, again, to see if Killian O'Connor is going to be fully fit for the year and stay injury free. Alan Dillon perhaps won't play as big a role on the field, but off the field, he's a huge role as well. And Andy Moran as well, you know, from Ballyhadrine, huge, just a desire to play for Mayo. And he realises he's coming to the end of his days as well, so he's going to be very much driving it on as well. So, Killian O'Connor is huge, obviously, for Mayo. And if he can stay injury free, I think, and on the pitch, you know, anything can happen when that guy's on the pitch, but it really comes down to that desire, I think, because it's a huge ask.
Okay.
You know, even the travelling up and down from Dublin, and if, as John said, if they are despondent after the league, then you know it could be a tough day in Galway, right?
There's huge ambitions there. Sorry, there's huge ambitions in Mayo. Like, they still want it. They really, really want it, and they want it passionately. I just think this year in Connacht that Mayo are going to get tested. You know, we're presuming, you know, we're probably jumping ahead of ourselves, and we're not being disrespectful to the likes of Galway and Roscommon. But Galway and Roscommon, I think, are going to give Mayo two really tough games, and two tough games that they haven't never gotten for the last 5 years leaving Connacht.
So they might leave Connacht in much better shape.
I just think to be better prepared. The only test they've ever had was in the quarter final. And, you know, it was a case of slowly but surely getting better from there. They have to be good from now to go forward.
Okay. You wanted to jump in, Gary?
No, I was just curious, John. Do you think the league is that strong a barometer for the championship?
Yeah, not necessarily, Gary. I mean, it's not really a benchmark. Like, I mean, if you were to use the league as a benchmark, you'd write Cork off entirely because they were so horrific in the league final against Dublin. That said, like, I mean, you know, we wanted Mayo... want to get into a National League semi-final. Like, I mean, it would have it's worth a few extra quid. I mean, the county board would have been delighted to get into the latter stage of the league final, and we did go into that game hoping and trying to win it, and we just couldn't, and that just begs a few questions, and just creates a little issue about doubt. I mean, it might mean nothing, and to a certain extent, Gary, you're probably right. It's not a true benchmark in recent times.
I want to talk League of Ireland in just a minute, but before I do, just to go through the three games this weekend, Eamon, I'll fly through them with you. Clare, Limerick. Smart money on Clare.
Smart money on Clare, yeah, okay. Definitely.
London, Roscommon. Could be a lot tighter and more competitive game than people.
No disrespect. I think London had their time 2 years ago. I think Roscommon could go over there and blow them out of the water.
Cavan Monaghan.
Will be a good game. Hopefully it's a similar type of football game than I expect it to be, like last week with Tyrone Donegal. I still think Monaghan might have too much for Cavan.
Okay, John, your thoughts?
Concur.
I like you. That's a man who he knows the value of airtime. So there we go. There's the treble from Eamon O'Hara and John Monaghan. Gavin, to talk about the League of Ireland season, you know, no more than we talked about Leinster at the start of the programme, I think anyone within the Sligo Rovers setup would be honest enough to admit that it's not quite progressed the way you would have expected it to with 13 games played.
No, I think, you know, it's we're very disappointed in where we are. But we are where we are. And I think it's up to ourselves now. You know, it's been a bit of a transition period. You know, since we won the league in 2012, we've had a massive turnaround in players. A lot of players leave. It's something that I think the league has to look at as well. We're trying to get a base down here that we can get players to stay. I think that's very important. A lot of the players in Dublin, as you will see, you know, go from Pats, Bowles, back to Shams and Newdad. So we brought some players down. They probably haven't performed. They're not happy with their own form, but they're a good bunch of lads. We you know, it's listening to people saying, you know, are we where we should be? No, we're not. But it's up to us to try and get where we want to be. I think that's the difference. We got our first result at home last week. We have a tough game in the Brandywell on Friday, tomorrow night. You get nothing easy up there, as I know. But hopefully we can kick on from it.
And people forget as well that there's an awful long way to go. We've, you know, mid-season breaks, transfer windows that, okay, while it might look like Dundalk have the potential to run away, put a run together, take points off other teams, European distractions, that there's a long, long road ahead.
Yeah, I think so. I think Dundalk have been really, really good. I think, you know, great credit to Stephen Kenny and the people up there. You know, he's totally turned the club around, you know, and the town have got behind him. But, you know, they've made good additions. You know, we lost Gary Rogers to them and they brought in Ronan Finn. So they're a wee bit stronger. Richie Towle is probably the best footballer in the country at the moment. But it's far from over. I think, you know, there's a stage I always remember, you know, we won 10 games in a row at the start of the season 2 years ago and everybody was handing us a trophy. It doesn't work that way.
I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, and football doesn't work that way. But from our own cause, it's just that we got to get focused. The players are very much, I suppose, focused now. They got their first win last week at home, which was a long time coming. It's a monkey off their back. So we go to the Brandywell, hopefully, and push on from there.
We're live from the Diamond Coast Hotel in Sligo with On Post. We're chatting cycling and much, much more. Earlier, stage 5 of the On Post Ross finished in Ballina. There's only 3 stages left, so we are encouraging you to get out and see the spectacle for yourself and cheer on the competitors along the way. Stage 6 is from Ballina to Ballinamore. Tomorrow, Saturday, sees Ballinamore to Drogheda for stage 7, and then stage 8 on Sunday is Drogheda to Skerries. And delighted to say we're joined by a man who's, Brian McChrystal, are you ahead of where you would expect it to be? You're certainly making a name for yourself. Switching from League of Ireland soccer with Dundalk and triathlon to cycling, it's a busy sporting transition.
Yeah, it has been over the last number of years. Actually, he won't remember me, but I actually lined out with that man across the road. And he was looking at me when I came in. It was back, I'm probably going to go back 13, 14 years with Neary Town when Alfie Wiley took you in, Gavin.
That's right, yeah.
I've never saw any centre-half head the back of a centre-forward's head to actually head the ball. He was probably one of the hardest centre-halves I've ever seen playing football.
Do you still follow Dundalk passionately? You're still based in the town?
I'm in retail in the town, and I do support the team, but probably not as much as I have in the past number of years, but they're going really well.
And the work that Stephen has done there has been phenomenal, but what part of it is the consistency that he has a squad that he's been able to work with now for a couple of years? And okay, players come in and out, but the core squad is there, which avoids all that chopping and changing, Gavin, at the start of every season.
Yeah, I think that's something I think that they've got right. He went in there, you know, he signed players that, no disrespect, you know, other clubs didn't want at the time, and he's moulded them into a championship winning team. He has them all playing for himself, I think, you know, and he's added to the squad as he went along. He's been very, very good with his signings, and I think what has happened is the community of Dundalk have got behind him no more than the community in Sligo has got behind us over the last 6-7 years. You know, as I said, we can only look at what we do, but probably the interesting thing with Dundalk as well, I'm listening to a lot of the lads about the condition that their players are in, you know, from rugby to Gaelic. I think the condition that the Dundalk players are in is really amazing. I think their fitness coach has got it really, really right. They all look really, really big physically and very athletic. So, you know, it's not over by no means. I think, you know, Shams and Cork and Pats will have a lot to say about that, but they're going to be hard to catch.
Okay, Brian, to chat about the On Post Ross, how does a man go from soccer with Dundalk and Leeds and many other clubs to eventually ending up on the saddle of a bike going around Ireland?
Well, it probably wasn't working out in each of those sports, so I had to find something else that did work. So I think I have found something. But back to my football days, I kept breaking down as I got into my early 20s. And, you know, I was sick of being injured. Started running. That transferred into some triathlon. And part of triathlon is to ride a bike, and I was fairly good at that, so solely concentrated on cycling the last number of years. Bringing kids and getting married, you know, training 3 disciplines is hard, so just concentrating on the one is probably worked out better for me.
41st in the stage today, well placed in general classification, well placed in a number of the categories in terms of county riders, everything else. Is it exceeding what your expectation would have been starting off a week ago?
No, not really. I'm not going. I had a good day on Monday on stage two.
An exceptional day. Let's be very, very ashamed. Put it in context for us.
He was a race leader on the road for a while, and I think he caught in the last 5K.
Yeah.
So had the course been different? I mean, it was written down as a third category climb, but I think that was generous. I think it definitely should have been second category at least, and probably made a lot of people underestimate. Had that not been there, this would be a stage winner here. It was a fantastic ride. It was very, very impressive.
Yeah. Now, I think it's a Cat 1 in the Shure Valley 3 day.
Sure. Yeah. So, category 3 definitely wasn't.
So it took me by surprise. I was out in the road for too long. Mm. Once that climb came, my legs were gone. And the way the pros can kind of climb, especially in the latter part of the race, you know, they really move.
With Martin Irvine in with us earlier, how significant, having been around five stages of the Ross, how significant is the gap between the top level amateur riders, county riders, club riders, and the pros?
It's not as big as you might think. It's all about, like, it's not about just going out and riding your bike hard and riding people off your wheel. Race tactics come into it. These guys are doing it week in, week out to get more practice at it. They're racing against bigger quality, higher quality across the water or in the continent. And, you know, we don't get that. We're riding against the same lads. Mm. You know, it's a bit like League of Ireland, you know. When the English teams come over, the level's just up. You know you're playing against different quality. But it's not as big as you might think. The county lads are well fit to ride with them, not just sit in, but ride with them.
So how important is a week like this then to study up close the professional riders? And even like we're sitting here overlooking the car park at the hotel, and you know there's some of the pros are going out for a jog as a form of warming down, having done 142 kilometres.
They don't even walk upstairs.
Well, there's definitely, well, there must be closing time up the road or something that they're going out. But is it a good means for you to use the On-Pulse Ross as a way of studying these guys up close and seeing what is required to take that extra step?
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't think there's a whole lot of guys wanting to make the next step, county guys, because, you know, there's to secure a future to live off in cycling is extremely difficult. And a lot of the county guys are happy enough and content to have their job and be able to ride their bike and have the ability to race against these guys. The On-Pulse Ross is a great event. It's our World Cup, you know, but it's kind of a measure. You get the chance 8 days in the year to kind of measure yourself against the top guys.
Are you taking part in the Salmon Run Triathlon 10th anniversary? Takes place in Ballina on the 4th of July.
I don't know if I'll be
there's
around.
A man handed me the leaflet, so I'll hand it to you. Yeah. Shane, what's in store between now and Sunday? How significant a challenge lies ahead for the riders between here and Skerries?
Yeah, it's more of the same, and then it's a little different in that the climbs, there's a bit more climbing to come. There's category 2 climbs on the next 2 days. It's probably going to be as aggressive as we've seen thus far. The climbing will add an extra element to it. Certainly the On-Pulse team will try and use Josh Edmondson as the rider in second overall. He was with Sky last year, good climber, and he'll try and put pressure on the race leader. There's quite a lot of racing to go. You never know what's going to happen in this race, and anything can happen.
That's the beauty of the On-Pulse Ross. I have to say hello to Mark Gordon, who I know is listening in Dublin, and I have to wish the best of luck to Enniscrone Kilglass. GA and Soccer Draw has been combined and relaunched, and I think a few of the lads took part. Actually, a few of the lads got hit in the pocket for a fiver to take part in the draw, so we wish you well with that. There's a game in the Sligo Senior League, Division 2 against St Michael's, 4:30 on Sunday, so that's... forget everything else that's going on in the world Sunday afternoon. Forget your whole city getting relegated, Gary Murphy. It's all about...
Oh, how good was Sunderland last night? It was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sebastian Coates. Liverpool should never have let him go. What's going to happen in the BMW PGA Championship? Where's your heart lying, having seen day one of competition?
I mean, you'd have to fancy Rory at the start of the week, but as a 5-2 bet, he was crazy. But Molinari has got so much game, it's just if he can have faith in his putter over the weekend. But I'd like to see Shane Lowry press on. He had a slow day today, and he's been a little quiet of late, so it's a big couple of weeks for Shane. Obviously, with Wentworth and Royal County down next week, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, which is going to be brilliant.
Okay, Gary, thank you as always. Gavin, good luck with the rest of the season starting tomorrow. Gentlemen, Gavin also, look after the business side of Connacht. And
Wilco, is it? Look after Wilco.
Look after Wilco. And Brett, thank you very much. Ireland to do better than South Africa in the Rugby World Cup?
Yes.
Good man, right answer. Shane, Brian, thanks very much. And to John Mahan and Eamon O'Hara, who are with us as well. A quick word of thanks to our team here at the Diamond Coast Hotel. Jimmy Breslin, Seamus O'Marta, who've been on sound. Mike Ryan back at base. To JJ, Andrew O'Connor, and programme producer. John Farrell, thank you very much to everyone involved in the hotel for playing host to us and allowing us to take over half a function room. And to our friends as well in On Post for having us. Good luck to everyone taking part in the On Post Ross between now and Sunday. Stay on the bike and arrive in Skerries in one piece. From Damien O'Mara, all of us here till we chat again. Thanks very much.
Game on 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the straight talking savings bank.